You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, May 3rd, 2024. That's right, we're already in the month of May. Grandpa Dan streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It is Friday. We're going to have some fun. We're going to try to have some laughs here to wrap up your work week. I appreciate you joining us. As always, I start off reminding you we have our Sven Longshank support links here in the description for the Daily Nationalist. Continue to ask you to soldier on. I know it's kind of a hassle. Maybe you don't want to take the time, write a postcard, or maybe drop an email. Encourage you to do so. After all, it's a lot rougher, more inconvenient for him where he's at. So we're going to continue to do that until the day's released, which I'm continuing to hope will be very, very soon. And I will, of course, as soon as I have any updated information on that, we'll pass it along to you. We are all, of course, very much looking forward to that day. So we are wrapping up our week. I'm not going to link any specific stories, as has been kind of what I've been falling into the groove of doing on these Fridays. Just kind of hitting a lot of general stuff. And again, from a point of view, we're going to laugh at some of this stuff. I really do think that, as the old saying goes, humor is the best medicine. I think being able to laugh at this stuff will keep you from becoming a schizo. It will keep you from getting off the deep end. It will keep you from being weird, you know, getting too obsessed with stuff. You know, I think it's really, really important to laugh at some of this stuff and realize how ridiculous so much of it is. You know, sometimes we get all wrapped up in stuff. People get all wrapped up because, you know, I understand there's serious things going on. These are serious issues and so on and so forth. But a lot of the specific things that are happening, and people be like, oh my gosh, this is the biggest deal ever. And it's like, it's not. It's like several years from now, people will be laughing about how stupid it is. You know, you look at how big a deal the mask stuff was, you know, during the whole COVID thing. And now, it just all seems so ridiculous. Those of us who didn't go along, we feel so vindicated. It's nice. But it is. It's so ridiculous. But at the time, you know, it was this huge, huge deal. One of the things I thought was the absolute funniest thing, and this happened earlier this week, and it already got flushed. It already got flushed from the mainstream news cycle. And to me, like I said, this was probably the absolute funniest thing. So the U.S., you know, we've got to continue to have the Israelis genociding the Palestinians. And the U.S. and some of its toadies, they put together a ceasefire deal. They put together a ceasefire deal, finally. And Anthony Blinken and some of the others, they came out. And this ceasefire deal was going to entail a ceasefire, wasn't going to be indefinite. None of the things that Hamas wants, which was a definite path for moving actual progress to Palestinian statehood. But it did call for a ceasefire so humanitarian aid could get in. Some of the Israeli hostages would be released along with Palestinian prisoners who, you know, are being held by Israel. Now, they brokered this deal. And of course, we have this situation, which is so ridiculous. They won't talk to any of these people. You know, for instance, if they have to like work out a negotiation with Iran, or in this case, Hamas, they have to do this through like intermediaries. They go and meet instead of just meeting with these people and say, OK, we're working on this deal. What would you think of this? And working across the table like you normally would. They have these ridiculous things where we're not allowed to talk to them. So what we have to do is we have to have this meeting over here and we'll decide this stuff. And then we'll hand it to this third party who will then take it to Hamas or Iran or North Korea, whatever the case may be. And they will present it to them. And then they will tell the third party, who will then come back to us. It's It's like high school. It's like high school mean girls behavior or something. It's like, we're not talking to Brittany. She is like so out. So listen, Stephanie, you be sure when you see Brittany, you let her know I said she's a total bitch and her nails are ugly. And then, you know, she goes, this is what counts as diplomacy in the West today. But we had this deal and this was the basic outline of it. And some of the hostages would get released. Some of the Palestinians would get released. And most of all, it was going to lead to a ceasefire. And allegedly, some humanitarian aid would come in. Now, after this deal was written up by the U.S., Hamas hadn't even seen it yet, much less agreed to it. But the U.S. and its toadies had come up with this deal. Antony Blinken and company, they come out. And there's this big news article about it. And they made these grand pronouncements. They said, this is an amazing deal. This is going to save the Palestinian people. This is now the ball is in. And they tried to lump everything onto Hamas. They said the ball is now in Hamas's court. Israel is being so generous. This is going to be such a generous thing on the part of Israel. This is going to be so generous. If Hamas turns this deal down, then whatever happens, it's all on Hamas. If the Palestinians continue to get slaughtered because Hamas refuses to steal, then that makes it Hamas's fault. It's as if Hamas was mass bombing their own people. It is all going to be on Hamas. If Hamas does not take this deal, this proves that they are the true evil savage terrorists that the Israelis claim is going to be. If the ball is in. This is all on Hamas. They got to take this deal or else. Like later the same day, before Hamas has still had a chance to even comment on this deal, Netanyahu comes out and says, well, regardless of any sort of deal that may or may not happen, we're still going to attack Rafah and we're still going to slaughter these people. We're still going to go in. We're still going to slaughter some more people, regardless of any deal. If they make a ceasefire deal, that's all fine and good, but we're still, even though there would be technically ceasefire deal, we're still going to attack Rafah and we're still going to kill everybody there. My greatest ally. What are you doing, my greatest ally? It's so hilarious because the U.S. comes up with this deal. They work so hard to craft this thing up so that they can craft a narrative. Either Hamas takes this deal and the U.S. can go around and try to wipe some of the mud off their face after things like having to veto any ceasefire in the U.N. Security Council, veto recognition of a Palestinian state, do all of this lackey, thankless slave work on behalf of Israel. They craft this up so that they can create this narrative. If Hamas takes the deal, they can say, look, we're the peacemakers. And if Hamas rejects the deal, then they can say, well, we tried. This just proves that Hamas are evil. And they're the ones who are actually killing their own people or something. And before Hamas can even look at the deal, I don't even think it arrived because it had to go through third party. I don't think it even arrived for Hamas to look at yet. And Netanyahu comes out and publicly, I mean, very, very publicly and blatantly torpedoes the deal himself. He torpedoes the deal himself and says, oh, regardless of what they agree on, we're still going to attack and kill all these people. And just like that, the story, which was obviously when it first released, this story was obviously going to be pumped through the mainstream media. You know, this is oh boy, here's our chance to find out if Hamas is really willing to negotiate. And they never even get to comment on it. Hamas never even got to comment on this deal because Netanyahu came out and torpedoed the U.S.'s grand plan, like out of the gate. The narrative they had so crafted, so carefully crafted and set up to where it was supposed to be a win-win. If Hamas takes the deal, see, we're the peacemakers. We don't support the genocide, even though we're giving them all the money and weapons to do so. And if Hamas rejects the deal, well, all the Palestinians will be slaughtered. That's Hamas's fault because they didn't take the deal. I mean, I can just imagine these people thinking that they were so clever. What could go wrong? This is a foolproof plan. And then your greatest ally comes out before Hamas can even look at it and torpedo publicly, publicly, this isn't like through anonymous sources. He comes out and publicly torpedoes the deal. And Hamas's hands are clean. Like, I would imagine the third party that was delivering this to Hamas, they saw this on the news and just stopped. And we're like, well, we're going to go ahead and turn around because there ain't even no point. There's not even a point. There's not even a point in delivering this. It's so funny because you still have people out there that try to claim that, like, Israel is a client state of the U.S. empire. You know, I'll see these people and they'll write these articles and they still try to claim. They're like, well, you know, Israel just being a client state of Washington. This is not the way a client state operates. I don't know how you look at that and read that into it, that Israel is somehow a client state to the U.S. Client states don't come out and torpedo these plans of their supporter. So obviously one has to read that you have that. You have that backwards, because Netanyahu couldn't do anything if the U.S. said, well, we're cutting off all weapons, all supplies. We're not going to do that. Speaking of this topic, like I say, these are serious topics. I get that. I'm not making light. I mean, I understand people are dying. I'm the first one to say war is horrible. People are dying, but you can't do anything about that. And for your own health, you have to laugh at some of the absurdities of these things. It's not. And I mean, any way, shape, or form, I mean, this all serious. I'm not making light of people suffering, but I am making light of how stupid so much of the things they're trying to present to us, you know, so many of these narratives. As you know, the International Criminal Court may or may not release like criminal indictments, arrest warrants for Netanyahu for genociding at least tens of thousands of people. Now, Netanyahu came out and demanded that the U.S. intervene in the International Criminal Court and not allow this to happen. Again, who's the client state here? Netanyahu first, he comes out and he demands that the Biden administration do something and intervene to make sure this doesn't happen, that they doesn't get arrest warrants. It's not like they're going to, I mean, there's arrest warrants supposedly for Putin or whatever. I mean, these aren't enforceable. It's, you know, the idea is somewhat laughable. The only way these things get enforced is if the U.S. can go in and invade one of these countries, grab their leader, and then throw them in front of this quote-unquote court. And that's obviously not going to happen in this case. But nonetheless, these arrest warrants have really pissed off Bibi. Netanyahu's really upset about him. Netanyahu, and this is after he says he torpedoes their deal and says, regardless of any ceasefire deal, we're still going to attack and slaughter more people. And so Netanyahu, he tries to get the Biden people first to intervene. Apparently that didn't work. And for whatever reason. So then Netanyahu comes out and he says, get this now. He says that if they release an arrest warrant and a criminal indictment for being a genocider against him, the International Criminal Court, if the ICC does this, he says, I'm going to blame the Palestinian Authority. Now, these are the people that supposedly run the West Bank. This is not Gaza. It's nothing to do with Hamas. It's nothing to do with Gaza. Remember, their genocide in the Gaza Strip is because of October 7th and Hamas are evil terrorists. The West Bank and the Palestinian Authority has nothing to do with that, supposedly, aside from the fact that they're Palestinians and also fit into the paradigm of needing to be ethnically cleansed for the sake of greater Israel. Netanyahu comes out and says, if they release an indictment and arrest warrant for me, I'm going to blame. He said this. I will blame the Palestinian Authority, and the consequences, they will be held responsible for. So in other words, it's like an international hostage situation. The U.S. is out here trying to defend Israel. It's trying their best. The media is doing their best to paint Israel as the victim here, as they're just defending themselves. Do you condemn Hamas? Remember October 7th? You know, 6 million babies were shoved in an oven and all of the rest of the nonsense that didn't fly that they tried to invent these atrocity things. And now you have Netanyahu, who's doing an international hostage. So you got the Palestinian Authority over here, who really doesn't have anything to do with what's happening in Gaza. In fact, it's been very quiet over there for the most part, except for Israeli settlers going in and attacking the Palestinians. But that's a normal thing in the West Bank. And you have Netanyahu now, who's essentially standing on the world stage and holding a gun to the West Bank, to the Palestinian Authority's head, and says, if y'all issue arrest warrants and indictments on me, I'm going to blow this guy's brains out. But he's the good guy. You get the U.S. has got to somehow try to paint Netanyahu as the good guy here, defending his people against the terrors of a second Holocaust that happened on October 7th. And he keeps coming out and doing these things. He keeps torpedoing their deals. He comes out and says he's going to Samson option. He's going to Samson option the Palestinian Authority. He's going to do to the West Bank what he's done to the Gaza Strip, if they dare release these indictments against him. Because, you know, he's totally obviously not some kind. He's obviously not promoting a genocide program. Imagine if they send down indictments saying I'm a genocidal maniac, I will prove them wrong by genociding the rest of these Palestinians. Now, what are you going to do? And remember, the U.S. can cut this off anytime they want to. All they got to do is say, well, look, we're done. We're not sending you any more money. We're not sending you any more weapons. We're done with you. We're going to divest from you. We're going to boycott and divest you. We're BDSing you on a national basis, and it would be the end of it, like overnight. But absolutely no one thinks that's going to happen. So the U.S. is forced to sit here. These people are forced to sit here and continue to twist themselves into pretzels, turn them and tie themselves into knots to try to form some sort of coherent narrative to defend what these people over here are doing. Imagine that. Their entire narrative is this is about October 7th, and it was supposedly about getting the hostages back. They're not even pretending that anymore. You know, imagine these Israeli families who have family members who are being held hostage by Hamas and having to begrudgingly know that Hamas, one of the things they're having to do with these hostages is run around and try to keep them alive while they're being bombed by your own troops. Think about that. Hamas, this is a reality. Hamas is having to run around. They've taken these Israeli hostages. And one of the things they're having to do, because if they die, they're no good to them. I'm not saying they're doing it out of the goodness of their hearts, but because of the situation, Hamas is having to run around, scramble, and keep evacuating these Israeli hostages around, trying to hide them so they don't get bombed by your own dudes. And then you have the U.S. comes out with this supposed peace deal that means your loved one, your family member, may get released. And your government torpedoes that. Netanyahu comes out and torpedoes that deal before Hamas can even look at it. And then to top it all off, the narrative is this is about October 7th and maybe getting the hostages back, although we don't really care about that. But then if this international court says I'm a genocider, I'm going to go ahead and genocide the Palestinians in the West Bank, too, to show you that I'm not a genocider or something. I don't know. U.S. Congress, of course, because they're completely independent and the you know, the empire and Israel is a client state. The U.S. Congress, I saw a deal where they're wanting to pass a deal installing anti-Semitism monitors on these college campuses because of these protests. They also like passed a deal recognizing that ridiculous, you know, definition of anti-Semitism that one group has been promoting for a while. And it includes tropes like the Jews killed Jesus. So, yeah, you know, I there you go. We're going to de facto basically now condemn Christianity as anti-Semitic. Enough of this. Let's talk about some other things. I didn't even mean to go on about that. As long as I did, I know y'all get kind of tired of it, but it is that whole thing where Netanyahu just keeps going around and like embarrassing embarrassing his Washington, D.C. lackeys is just funny. You have to laugh. You have to laugh at the absurdities. As you laugh at the absurdities in the world, right? It's important to always stick to truth. I am always about truth. I really am. And I always try, even when I'm poking fun at something or ridiculing, I always want to be, you know, truth-centered. Otherwise, you're just calling people names. You know, if you're just lying to make people look bad and you just call, that's just calling people names. And that's very low IQ. That's not intellectual. And it's not funny. You know, if you just, that's why like the left's humor back in the day, talking like around 2016, 2017, you know, all their Trump jokes were just orange man bad, orange man stupid. You know, and it wasn't funny. And yet, you know, memes, which back then, you know, you could put out memes on social media that they were always funny because they're funny because they're based in truth. Jokes and humor that are based in truth are always going to be funny because people look at that and they're like, oh my gosh, but you know, that's true. You know, because you hear that, you know, people make an off-color joke and you're like, man, that's so bad. You can't say that, but it is true. That's what makes it funny. If you just say something that's not even true, that's just insulting to people, you're just calling people names. That's just ugly. People are just like, that ain't even funny. You're just being ugly and hateful, spiteful. You always have a point here. You always want to be in truth. I'm always interested in being in truth. But sometimes you can get let off of that because you just want to do this whole, well, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. You get your own medicine. You know what I'm saying? You get your own medicine. And people wind up doing this. But to do that, you're abandoning truth. But that's what they did to me, or that's what they've done to other people. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they get. That's what they get, a good dose of their own medicine. It's tempting. I get that. But you don't want to abandon truth. The ridiculous is still the ridiculous. One thing, there's been a lot of these stories that have been going around, and it seems now, for whatever reason, to be a regular happening. I guess it wasn't before. Maybe people didn't talk about it. But you got all this deal where these teachers, these high school teachers of various ages, are getting caught having sex with the students. Everybody knows about, I mean, there's no shortage of these incidents. You know, and I know that to a certain extent, this has always happened. I remember years ago, somebody was telling me a story about when they were in high school, and a mutual friend, and this person had gone to school with this mutual friend. And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, back when we were in high school, so-and-so, you know, he was banging the girls' TV, the girls' PE coach, the girls' PE teacher, whatever. You know, he was banging one of the teachers, and they were just laughing about it, you know. So apparently a certain amount of that, you know. You can remember, you know, and people get older and they try, that never happened when I was in school. But it did. It's just people had enough, people weren't so uncouth, they just didn't talk about it, you know. I can remember a teacher or two that was awful friendly with certain students. Now, was ever anything going on? I don't know. But if the opportunity arose, I would, knowing now what I didn't know then, if the opportunity arose, yeah, that probably could have or perhaps even might have happened. But one of the things that's so ridiculous that I find so ridiculous about this is these stories. I saw one just the other day, and this woman was arrested because she had, quote unquote, raped this teenage male student, and she had abused him by giving him blowjobs in her car. Now, I get it. I get it. Guys come out and be like, yeah, well, if this was a male teacher and he was banging some teenage girl, they'd throw him under the jail. So they get a good dose of their own medicine. And I get that. I get why people feel that way. But I'm sorry. I'm not going along with the absurd. I'm not going along with things that are ridiculous and pretending they're not ridiculous. And it's ridiculous to say a 15, 16, 17, whatever year old guy getting a blowjob from his mid-tier, middle-aged teacher in her car has somehow been victimized and now his whole life is ruined. And I see people making this argument. They'll say, this young man's life, you don't understand how this affects a young man. A teenage young man who's gotten a blowjob from a middle-aged teacher in her car, his life is devastated. He'll never understand how to deal with that again. Now, these people will not make that same argument about homosexual encounters, but they will about this. It's devastating. Of course he's been raped. She's in a position of authority. Stop. I realize, I get it. It gets tempting. But what are you doing? You're adopting the ridiculous narratives of these other people and trying to turn it around and say, well, what's good for the goose, good for the gander. Throw them in prison. Of course, the obvious answer that would fix a lot of this, it would solve like 90% of this, is you just have all-girls schools, bring back the days of all-girls schools, all-boys schools. And at the all-boys schools, you have male teachers screened to be sure they're not homosexuals. Voila. Problem solved. But of course, we're not going to do that. It's over days, man. You see one of these stories, and it'll be like, the teacher is teaching like, you know, oh, she got caught with this 17-year-old, and she's 25. Who the hell puts a 25-year-old in it? I get it. You know, people be, you know, guys my age or older, you know, say, I remember my teachers when I was that age, and they were all old, and that's true. Most of them, not all of them, were that old. But even the ones that weren't old weren't like 25. They might have been 30 or 35. Not in their 20s. Just crazy. You put them in there. Then they just go buck wild running around. Sending nudes. They sending nudes on their phone. Ain't got no sense. Ain't got no sense. Ain't no subtlety at all. These teachers are so stupid. It never dawns on them that they could actually get away with it if they would just simply not use the phone. Just tell them, all right, let's meet later this afternoon. Right. I'm going to give you a middle-aged happy ending in the front seat of my car down at the city park. Even if it come out, where's the evidence? They ain't got no evidence. He just say, all she got to say is, well, he's just mad because I gave him a failing grade. And that's that. No, these dumb bitches are sending nudies. They up there on so they're DMing. Can't wait. And they can't even be vague. Like, look, I can't wait to instruct you on these math problems later. I'm going to give you a physics instructions on how explosions work later. Use some kind of code, you ding dong. No, instead, they just like, I can't wait to suck you off in my car later. I mean, it's just like, there it is. Good night. Be subtle. There's no subtlety here. Ain't got no sense. Ain't got enough sense. Forget the sex thing. It disqualifies them from being a teacher that they're so stupid. They don't understand. Just tell them in person. Don't do no DMs. Don't be on the social media. Don't be texting nudies to them. Don't be sending text messages about, well, let's be sure and do this illicit act after school today. No sense. It's absurd. It's absurd, but I refuse to go along with the absurdity of acting like, oh yes, this 16-year-old's life has been ruined because he banged his teacher on her couch after school. I'm not going along with that. And I get it. You want to come back and say, yeah, but if it was a male teacher and he was banging some 16-year-old girl, they'd put him under the jail. I get it. You know, and I ain't saying that's right either. But I ain't going along with absurdity. I ain't going to sit here and say some teenage boy banging his middle-aged teacher now has had his life ruined because what? You know, he'd be bragging about that stuff, too. Everybody knows he's over there banging. Anyway, it's stupid. I refuse to go along with stupid. I refuse to sit here and pretend like, yes, let's adopt this absurd narrative because that's what they say about other people, you know. If the roles were reversed, man, they would demonize the male teacher to no end. Instead, let's just, if you want to be constructive, if you actually want to say something constructive and not just laugh at how ludicrous it is, you would say the answer to this, we need to bring back males, you know, all boys schools, all girls schools, and you can have women teaching the girls and men teaching the boys. Problem solved, isn't it? But of course, we can't do that because we also have to enforce this narrative that there's absolutely no difference in. Anyway, you just got to laugh at this stuff. You just got to laugh at this stuff. Yes, it's bad. Look, I'm not making light of more societal rot. I'm not, you know, saying any of that's okay. But you got to laugh at it. You got to laugh at it. So it's what healthy. I do. I believe laughter is a defense mechanism. It is. And it's a defense mechanism when you get in these absurd times. you got to laugh at them. I'm telling you, it's for your own good. It'll keep you sane in these insane times. That's what we're doing. That's why I brought back Funny Fridays, and I hope you have had a laugh over today show. Really do. I'm trying to make this fun, not just for y'all, but for me too. These daily nationalist shows, I'm not whining and complaining, but it's been a little challenging for me personally. So I'm trying to bring some fun for y'all, some fun for me. I hope you enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I hope you'll get a chance next week to check out whatever we have up on Radio Alvin. If you haven't caught what we've posted up this week, be sure and do that as well. It's a great thing about podcasting. You can go back later and check out any content you miss. I encourage you to do that. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.